and welcome to Sell, Pack, and Move, the podcast that's full of insights and business ideas from entrepreneurs, supply chain experts, and retail thought leaders. Use what they know to help you build your brand and enhance your business relationships. These are people who are doing it well and have the experience to talk about what works and what doesn't. If you've ever found the supply chain challenging, and let's be honest, who hasn't, this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Dean Gemmel, and Sell, Pack, and Move is brought to you by EasyCom Software, a leading EDI and e-commerce order management provider. EasyCom can handle it all, including seamless integration with the system you already use to run your business, making EDI, e-commerce, and online marketplace transactions more efficient and error-free. Find out more at EasyComSoftware.com. You'll find a link in the show notes for this episode. Now, let's get to our interview. They're the entrepreneurs behind Rapid Slicer, a 2018 finalist in the Global Innovation Awards from the Housewares Association. Cindy and Robert Fox, it's great to have both of you on Sell, Pack, and Move.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean.
So let's start by talking about your journey a little bit. How did you guys come up with Rapid Slicer? What led to deciding to produce it and sell it? Fill me in a little bit.
All right, good. So Rob always likes to say that I'm the inspiration and he's the inventor. I absolutely love to cook, so I'm always doing something in the kitchen. And he came home one day and he saw me using this, or trying, I should say, to use this kitchen hack that I saw on the internet to slice grape tomatoes. And he got this look on his face like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm sick of doing these one at a time and I wanted to try this. And he, you know, was sliding across the counter and my hand was right by the knife. And he said, you're going to hurt yourself. But then it's funny, he got this look on his face and I could tell his wheels were turning and he said, I have an idea. And he went down into the basement, I think it was that weekend, and actually put together the first prototype of our product. So Rob, I'll throw it over to you because you can talk a little bit more about that.
So the prototype, as I understand it, was made out of wood. Is that right? The first initial model?
That is correct. I threw together some scraps in my basement and put them on my lathe and just made a crude prototype and brought it up to Cindy and asked her, you know, try this, see how this works.
Well, you do know what you're doing if you have a lathe in the shop down there. This is not small time.
He definitely has some talents in all kinds of areas. So yeah, this is pretty funny. And he brings it up and he gives it to me and I test it out. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, this worked really well. So anyway, that was the very beginning. And Rob, I'll throw it back to you because you're the one that kind of started the process with actually getting design work and manufacturing.
Real quick, had you guys ever done something like this before? Was this your first?
No,
never.
You'd never developed a product and taken it to market and everything else. So it was all new to you.
All brand new.
Terrific.
All scary and new.
Right.
I keep saying, we don't know what we don't know, but we're going to figure it out a step at a time, and that's literally how this has gone.
That's the path to take, I think, when you're an entrepreneur. So what were the next steps there, Bob?
So the next steps were, I think I made a second prototype in the basement and refined the design a little bit, and then I made some sketches of what I envisioned to be a finished product. And I reached out to a local manufacturer here who does injection molded manufacturing. And nice guy, went down and visited him and had my prototype and my sketches and kind of laughed a little bit and said, well, you know, this is pretty crude. And he pointed out some design points that didn't lend itself well to the manufacturing process.
Right.
And he got me in touch with a plastic designer, a local guy here in Massachusetts. And I had a couple of dialogues with this guy, sent him my drawings and some photos, and he came back with some 3D renderings of a more refined product and continued to work with him to kind of tweak out some details of it.
So how many iterations did you go through there working on details?
Not much. I think we went through maybe two or three initially.
Right.
And then from there through another good friend of mine, I took the 3D files from this guy, and I had a prototype made, a high-quality prototype.
So as you were doing this, how many of your friends and family thought you were nuts to be spending your time doing this?
Well, I don't know how many thought we were. A couple of people.
Oh, some actually said you were.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also, while this was going on, I contacted a lawyer and applied for my patent.
Right.
So that was happening in progress. My patent was pending.
So you get a prototype, and then it's made in the United States, I believe, right?
Our product is made in the U.S., yes.
Yeah, and so you had the pro. Did you go back to the original person you talked to get it made, or did you go somewhere else?
I did, and unfortunately for him, I think he was non-responsive. To help me get some pricing to have my molds made, and after a couple of attempts of reminding him and him saying, "Oh, I'll have it for you next week."
Right.
After that went around a couple times, I searched for another manufacturer.
He doesn't eat enough grape tomatoes to see the value, I guess.
Right. Because,
Yeah, our manufacturer now is awesome. He's also in Connecticut, in Southington, and he's been a mentor and has helped us with all kinds of, you know, challenges as we've gone, and we really, you know, we appreciate so much about what he's has done for us. Vanguard Plastics in Southington.
There we go. A little Vanguard Plastics plug. Good to do. And
Vanguard.
All right.
Vanguard.
All right. Got it.
And during this, so this was over some quite a lengthy period of time, because at one point we really didn't know what to do. And I'll say that I was kind of stymied and frozen because I didn't know what the next steps were.
Sure.
And I finally came to, you know, the realization that, okay, I don't have to know how to get a product to market, but I just need to figure out what the next step is.
Right.
Where we were. And that's the approach that we've taken. Because as you said, like, we don't know what we don't know. We're at the point where we could just see what's the next logical step. And let's take that and see where it leads.
I think the difference between entrepreneurs and people who want to be entrepreneurs is you just sort of forge on, right? And figure out things as you go.
Right. You have to be comfortable with the unknown.
So when did you get your first products produced, ready for sale, when were they first produced?
It was in mid-May of last year.
Okay.
Yeah. We actually had signed up, crossing our fingers that our product would be ready for a Made in Connecticut Expo, and it was a two-day event, and we literally picked up product the Friday night at 5 o'clock when we had a booth set up for Saturday, and again, white-knuckling it. We actually, you know, our packager came through, so went to the event. First time we're selling, pitching anything with this product, and we did really well. It was a two-day event, and we, you know, we sold a ton, but again, said, all right, now what do we do? How do we get this out there? And again, that was a learning curve, but I have some sales training background, so
right.
Thankfully I was able to draw on that a little bit and, you know, figure out how to put together our marketing plan, and little by little just get it on Amazon, sell it on our website, got it in some local kitchen stores, hired a rep firm in New England who was able to be some feet on the street for us in New England, and they started getting some traction, and, you know, found a buyer on LinkedIn at Bed Bath & Beyond and said, they're in New Jersey. I wonder if she works in the corporate office. Let me call the main number. Can I speak with, you know, Tracy? And
right.
She put me into her, and she picked up her phone. It was crazy. I thought, what are the chances of that? So anyway, I sent her a sample. They started testing us out online. So that was our first, you know, first time that we actually got into a bigger retailer. Now, we're only online there, but that was a pretty big hit for us. And the International Home and Houseware Show in Chicago a few months ago has been an absolute tipping point for us. We've got amazing connections through there. We've, you know, we're getting POs now that we're just, Rob and I are like, oh my gosh, that's like the biggest order we've had. It was 96. And then today it's like, oh my God, 144. Oh, wait a minute, 1600. So we're just, it's starting to really gain some momentum, and it's just been really exciting.
How are you handling all these orders, or how has that process been?
Well, that's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been consuming our house. Our living room and kitchen are now our fulfillment centers.
Yeah. We got boxes galore. I'm staring at like a whole row of rapid slicer boxes in front of me in my office here. But we just placed another PO today that actually we thought we were going to order one number, and we've got other traction. So I just upped the order. I doubled the order this morning to say, you know, because we have to be ready to fulfill these. We actually, at the home show, we met with a couple people. We met with a rep for QVC. We met with somebody from the Grommet. So we've got a campaign with the Grommet that's going to launch in the end of May. We had a meeting with QVC on Monday, and they loved it. And so our plan is to, in Q1 2019, they're going to bring it on for one of their kitchen shows. So, you know, that's exciting. Our PO should be coming in from them within the next couple of days. So that's really, for us, that's an ideal platform. It's a very demonstrable product. When
right.
you see it, you're like, wow, you know, that's really cool. And you see all the different things you can use. The buyer at QVC, you know, we brought in tomatoes, olives, grapes, mozzarella balls, small potatoes, shrimp, chicken, and I actually did a demo of every one of them, and she's like, you know, I think that's what sold it. She's like, you know, it's not just for this one little thing. It does, you know, you can do so many things in it, so
right.
it's really, really good.
So has it been challenging? Do you find all the retailers have different requirements, specifications, and you're handling that, and what's that been like?
You know what? It's I have to put the hat on. All right, wait, which client is this? Okay, good. Let me go back into what their system is. It's definitely true. There's, you know, like a Bed Bath & Beyond has a much more comprehensive onboarding process, you know, and having, you know, EasyCom for the EDI was awesome because, you know, they helped every step of the way. That was really helpful. But it is very different. I mean, some are very informal and, you know, they send a PO and we just put it in QuickBooks, and others we have to use their system. But, you know, we're learning, and that's every time we get another vendor like that, it's just helping us understand, you know, how to make our processes better, really, because,
right.
you know, it's all pretty grassroots stuff.
What about your experience with Amazon? Is there anything you'd suggest to somebody else, maybe not with a competitive product, of course, but just selling for the first time on Amazon and what you learned from that experience?
You know what? Amazon was interesting because we didn't understand how to drive traffic to our page.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were getting hits, but it was mostly from, I think, the social media marketing that I was doing. Then I started doing a little bit of the sponsoring of ads. So I was doing a little advertising. We were getting a little more hits. But honestly, we had someone approach us that's an Amazon reseller, and she said, I can optimize your page. I can sell this thing.
Right.
And a couple weeks ago, we got her. She got set up. Actually, it was a week ago, and is selling record numbers. But it's because she understands that platform, and she's got an audience, and so she's selling it like crazy. So we're sort of saying, good, take it over, girl. We'll step back and let you guys do the Amazon piece, because
well, you know, sure, that's good insight, because I mean, you know, Amazon is such a big platform, of course, but it's there are people who really know what they're doing on it, right? And you're yeah. focused on being experts in your product, so that's an interesting way to look at it, and it's worked out all right for you so far.
Oh yeah. You know what? So far, so good. I mean, again, she knows. We gave her a minimum quantity to reach every month, and she didn't even bat an eyelash. So we're like, okay, you know what? We can't do a fraction of that right now. So we're happy to have, you know, them take it over. So that's been really helpful.
Yeah, and I think that brings up a key point, which is to know what you're good at and what you're not good at. And don't be afraid to recognize that something is not in your wheelhouse. You're not good at that. And if there's people out there that can help you with what you're not good at, that just helps give you what you need, right? If there's an opportunity to work with someone who could fill a knowledge void or a skill void that you have, it's awesome. Don't be afraid to use other people to help you.
That's probably a good lesson in life as well, right? Not just when you're selling something. What would you say has been your biggest challenge through this whole journey you've been on? What's been the biggest challenge?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think it's organization. I think it's us organizing ourselves as far as our record keeping, our processing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's been the biggest challenge.
Coming up with better systems. So we keep trying to do that. And the good thing is Rob and I have very different strengths, which, you know, he's so much better at the systems piece, and the, you know, QuickBooks is certainly something he's an expert in, and I'm learning, you know, fuddling my way through it. But, you know, I tend to be better at getting in front of, you know, getting in front of the potential buyer and
right.
being able to have those conversations and the follow-up and, you know, all of that is a little more comfortable for me. So it works out really well.
Yeah, that does seem like a good combination of talents that you guys bring to this. Do you ever imagine launching other products? Or is it too early?
I would say a wholehearted yes, for sure.
And we even have some ideas to enhance our existing product.
Well, if you came over and saw me in the kitchen almost cutting my fingers, you'd probably have some more ideas. Or just fumbling around in general, you'd probably be in good shape. So I'm open to that anytime.
We can help you out, Dean.
Yeah, anytime you want to come over and just see a lot of good product ideas or organizational ideas in general, you know, would be good too.
You know, it's interesting, too. We actually, at the home show, we met a lot of other inventors. We were in that inventor's corner. So we've been able to make, you know, keep those connections going, and we're learning from each other. But it's funny to be at a point where I had one of the women call me yesterday, and I'm actually able to mentor her in ways that, you know, I needed that help. And it's so much fun to be able to do that. Because it's like, wow, we've learned enough that we can actually give somebody some good insight into our journey and help them. So that's really been fun.
Networking, you know, find people in the same boat that you're in and network together and help each other.
So just looking forward, you know, it sounds like you're on a path to getting bigger and bigger orders. And do you have plans to eventually move the fulfillment center out of your living room? Or are you considering all those sort of things?
We have no plans, but we know it's coming.
Right.
We feel it, right? And I think we're on the cusp of kind of taking a step in that direction where we do have some large orders coming, and with those we're going to ship directly out from our packager.
Right. So you're going to try to sort of automate the process a little more than just than you have right now.
Right. Because yeah. You know, right now, you know, our first production run, all the inventory is sitting here in our garage, and we've been fulfilling from our house.
Right.
But we've got some really large orders coming, and there's no need to bring that inventory to this house. We're
going
to ship it directly from our packager. And, you know, as I said, we recognize that we're getting to the point where we, you know, we may have to get some fulfillment service company or some warehouse space to fulfill and keep our inventory elsewhere.
Right. And it's always it's a fine balance, right? Because you want to grow and you want to invest in growth, but you're also trying to manage a bottom line and you want to
right.
Do that. So it's go ahead.
That's the point. It's growing pains where you're, you know, the company's at a certain level and we're approaching that next level, and it's the in-between that's painful.
Right. Well, there's still good problems to have, though, right? Bigger orders and everything else.
Very good problems to have.
You'll take those. Yeah. So,
totally.
Just as we wrap up here, anything else you would like to add? Anything you have upcoming shows or places people can see your product or ways to connect with you to talk about it, or if they want to talk to you about EDI or order management in general?
You know what? Yeah, so we'll be on the Grommet. They're launching us. It should be the last week of May. Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, RapidSlicer.com is certainly good places to get the product. But, you know, I will say with the EZCOM EDI, when Bed Bath & Beyond was obviously the springboard that we then needed EDI, we hadn't had a need for it prior, but I had called around to a number of different vendors, EDI vendors, and you know, with a small company like we were, with one vendor, I mean, the setup fees and the monthly fees were just really out of reach for us. And so when I worked with EZCOM, it was like, really? You're going to be able to, you know, set us up for that amount? I mean, you guys really worked with us so well. And for a small company, it just made it affordable and made it workable. So, you know, that was a learning curve too, because that was a process that we had no experience with, and we had a really great experience with that onboarding with the EZCOM. So that was helpful.
Had you ever heard of EDI before you heard from these retailers?
I did not.
No.
I have.
Yeah, Rob, you had.
Oh, you had before? So I think a lot of people come to it and it's brand new, and then they're all of a sudden they have to figure it out, and it's daunting for sure. So what about your online order management and you know the stuff that doesn't run through EDI? How are you handling that?
Well, again, that's the one-on-one. We're fulfilling it here.
Right.
We actually, after the IHA show, we got a spot on the Today show, which was really awesome. Sissy Biggers loved their product, and so she featured it on a demo 2 days after the show that, you know, it was her best of the best from the show. So literally orders blew up on Amazon and our website, where we're like, whoa, we've never had this before. So that was a couple of days of, you know, crazy fulfillment. Boston Globe just featured us in an article.
I saw that.
So it was kind of similar. It wasn't as big as the ordering from the Today Show, but yeah, so that's the kind of thing that if that were happening consistently, we really couldn't handle it on our own at this point. You know, we'll have to probably get somebody to fulfill it.
Well, that's all exciting stuff, and it's really it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Bob and Cindy, and best of luck with the Rapid Slicer. We'll have information in the show notes once this is posted about where people can find out more about your product and links to your website.
And on our website, there's a contact form if anyone wants to get in touch with us.
All right, that's perfect. Thanks, guys. Good. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Dean.
That was Cindy and Robert Fox from Rapid Slicer on Sell, Pack, and Move, brought to you by EasyCom Software, the client-focused order management provider that helps companies of all sizes manage transactions with hundreds of retailers and orders from the leading online marketplaces. To find out more, visit EasyComSoftware.com. That's the letter E, then the letter Z, software.com. Thanks for listening.